know, spiritually in our walk with God, we also must persevere. We also must endure. And we also must stand fast. Listen to this illustration. During a Monday night football game between the Chicago Bears and the New York Giants, one of the announcers observed that now the late Walter Payton, y'all remember Walter Payton? His nickname was Sweetness, I believe. The Bears running back, he's now the second leading rusher in NFL history. He'd accumulated, one of the commentators observed, that Walter Payton had accumulated over 9 miles in career rushing yardage. Can you imagine? Over 9 yards. The other announcer remarked, yeah, and that's with somebody knocking him down every 4.6 yards. Walter Payton, the second most successful running back, knew what everyone had to do. Whenever you get knocked down, you got to keep getting up. When you get knocked down, you got to keep getting back up, right? You know, we in the service of the Lord, when we are serving the Lord, that's the most important thing in life. Y'all agree with that? Is our service to God. Now, when we stand before the Lord at the Bema seat, the judgment, he's not going to say, well, how much money you got in the bank? He's not going to say, now here, take this IQ test. I want to see what your intelligence is. He knows that already, right? He's not even going to have to ask, where are you from? And I won't have to answer him in Southern West Virginia English and say, Southern West Virginia. Down in Fayette County, down there next to the Hawks Nest State Park, New River Gorge Bridge. He'll know all those things, right? But you know what? We are going to give an account. Have we served God? Have we been faithful to God? And part of that being faithful is persevering in our walk with God. Persevering or standing fast in our walk with God. Now, we probably all, now to me, this is so relevant. This is like, wow, we need this. We need it October 19th, 2020. We need it today. Because the world wants to take us out and distract us, right? The old devil wants to take us from serving God and get us off track. Sometimes our own flesh, we get kind of preoccupied with different things and we get off course. And we can probably all think of people that used to be faithful who are no longer faithful to God at all. Now, when you get home and look in the mirror, you're looking at somebody who is very capable of not being faithful to God. Because we're sinners saved by grace. So through this series of messages, it really started in the book of Philippians, which we've been going through verse by verse, but it springboarded into a sermon series, if you will, on standing fast or persevering for the Lord. Now, we've covered most areas. We'll probably finish this sermon series today. Ryan's going to be preaching tonight, good Lord willing. The sermon series on 5 areas in which we should stand fast or persevere for the Lord. And in each one of these that we're going to look at, the same Greek word is there. The same Greek word to stand fast. That simply means to persevere. Now, we've already looked at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. It'll pop up. These verses will pop up. We've already looked at, first of all, first area to stand fast is stand fast in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, therefore, my brethren, beloved, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, here it is, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know, Paul loved the Philippian church. He loved the individual members of the church, and he's given them some good advice. Stand fast in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? I believe it means standing fast, first of all, in the Lord's strength. In the Lord's strength. Do you really think that we can accomplish anything outside of God's strength and His power? Not really. I mean, you just think about it for a moment. God's power and strength compared to our human power and strength. You may wake up some days and you have very little strength, period. Y'all ever had days like that? You're like, man, I'm not sure I'm even going to make it through today. But you know what? We need to stand fast or persevere in the Lord's strength. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, what I can do all things, what? Through my own power? Nope. Through my own brilliance? Nope. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's all because of his power. So first of all, we should stand fast or persevere in the Lord's strength. The second thing, I believe we should persevere when it says stand fast in the Lord, it's saying that we should persevere in the Lord's service. In the Lord's service. Do you know some days, I'm sure, I'm not sure, Lyndon, I think I had to step out, Lyndon can. But you know, when Linda teaches, I figure some days in her class, and Amy, as she teaches the really little ones, some days you're like, man, I'm not sure if anybody got anything out of that lesson. And I've had sermons and Sunday school lessons that I've taught to adults, and I go out of that class sometimes saying, I'm not sure if anybody got anything out of that. You know, it just kind of seems so disjointed sometimes, and it seems like there's so many distractions in class, and you're like, I don't know. And you know, the easiest thing for each one of us to do, have one bad day and say, I quit. That's not exactly the right response, is it? According to the Word of God, we are to stand fast in the Lord. And I believe that's saying stand fast not only in the Lord's strength, but also in the Lord's service. You see, we don't see what we're accomplishing. We don't see the spirit world, do we? We can't look at someone's heart and say, now they're getting it. And there's someone who's soaking it in like a sponge. There's someone who's growing in their walk with God. There's someone who is that close to getting saved. You know, we don't see things like that. Our responsibility is just keep persevering in the Lord's service. Just keep on doing what you know to do is right. First of all, stand fast in the Lord, in the Lord's strength, and also in the Lord's service. The verse for the Lord's service is 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Notice it says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, or being faithful. It says, for now we live, we're encouraged, we're energized, if ye stand fast in the Lord. And it's talking about faithfulness in service. You see, some people want to take away or even divorce the idea of serving God and faithfulness. I can serve God, but I don't have to be faithful. I'm not sure what book you're reading, but you're not reading the Word of God. Because when you are a child of God, you cannot separate your service to God and your faithfulness to God. Now, they should be like this, don't you agree? Stand fast in the Lord, in the Lord's strength, in the Lord's service. Also, we looked at stand fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Notice what it says. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch ye stand fast. There it is. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Act like men. Grow up. Mature. Let all things be done with charity. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 14 and 15. Notice what it says. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Do you know what it means to stand fast in the faith? Stand fast in the Word of God. Stand fast. Now, you've been taught right. Most people here, most of you have been Christians for a while, right? You've been in churches that teach and preach the Word of God. And you probably have several of these things called Bibles at your house. You see, we must persevere in the faith. We must persevere in what the Word of God says. You know, there's only one way to be saved, that's Jesus. I don't care what any televangelist might tell you or someone who believes something else may tell you you're working your way to heaven. The Word of God, standing fast in the faith, tells me there's only one way to be saved. That's by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's it. And you know what? According to this book, Standing Fast in the Faith, some things are just plumb sinful. Just call it what it is. It's sin. Now, the world wants to say, no, 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 no. And a lot of liberal churches say, no, 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 no. It's a gray area. But just some things are sin. And we know the things that are right that we should be doing, right? Telling people about Jesus, reading God's Word, praying to Him, being faithful to church, tithing our resources. All of those are things we should be doing according to the Word of God, right? We need to stand fast on those things. Persevere and say, you know what? The Word of God says it, that settles it. You know, there used to be an expression that we heard preachers say quite often. Well, if the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. You can take the I believe it out of there. If God said it, that automatically settles it, whether you believe it or not. Stand fast in the faith. Thirdly, we looked at stand fast in the liberty. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us, what, free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now you say, what are you talking about? Stand fast in the liberty. You know, there's some that want to pull us back under the bondage of the law and say, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this to be saved. And guess what? The problem in the Galatian church, they had people that wanted to say, now you can trust Jesus, but you still need to be circumcised. You can trust Jesus, but you still got to be following this Old Testament law. And can I tell you that most churches teach a work salvation? We're not saved by works. You know, this talks about bondage, the yoke of bondage. If I thought I was saved by work, I would probably be the most miserable person to ever be around. Because I'd be wondering, did I do enough? Did I do enough? Did I do enough? I don't know. But I'm saved by putting my faith and trust in Jesus, not by keeping the law. Not even by work. Sometimes in our mind we think God loves me more because I'm serving Him better. No, God is displeased when we don't serve Him, and He's happy and pleased when we do serve Him, but it doesn't add anything to our salvation. And it doesn't add anything to God's love for us because God's love is unconditional in the first place. So stand fast in the liberty that God has called us. Number four, we looked at last week, stand fast in one spirit. Now again, all of these references that have the stand fast, same Greek word. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, only let your conversation, or that's speaking of your conduct, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, here it is, that ye stand fast in one spirit. With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, we're to stand fast in unity or persevere in that one spirit of unity. You know, sometimes it may seem easier to quit rather than to be unified. But you know, because we have the same Holy Spirit living within us, we're supposed to strive to be unified. And I spent a fair amount of time last week saying, you know what ought to happen in most of our disagreements? You know, I used some really ridiculous illustrations like the color of the carpet. You know, we're offended because, you know, the color of the carpet is not the color that I want. And the church chose to do green and I wanted red. And I'm, you know what ought to happen? Or I want the piano. Now, we don't have a problem with this because we got a piano on both sides. Some people get upset which side the piano is on. Or some people get upset with the order of service. Well, you didn't spend as much time doing this, and I don't like this. And you know what ought to happen? That should never disunify us, things like that. Now, let doctrine disunify us. I mean, if someone's preaching and teaching false doctrine, you let them know about it, okay? And you put an end to that because we know what the Word of God says. When it comes to preferences, if you will, you know what ought to happen? You know, say we got red carpet, we vote to do green carpet, and you're a red carpet kind of person, and you're like, oh, I'm so upset. You know what ought to happen? You ought to say, you know what? The most important thing is pressing forward for Christ. The most important thing is serving the Lord. So compared to the stupid color of the carpet, I'm going to keep on serving Jesus. Really, that's what unity is. Recognizing the highest thing. Let the major thing be the major thing and the minor things be the minor things. And a lot of times people ought to say, you know what, we're just not going to agree on this. We're just going to agree to disagree, but I'm going to march on serving Jesus. That's really what unity is. It's not like we always think exactly alike and we went to the wall painted the same color or the carpet the same or the order of the service the same. But the cause of Christ is so much more. And if we're not careful, we'll let those little things so preoccupy our brain that it hurts the cause of Christ. I mean, what is the value of one soul? And if we let our preferences and our disagreements keep us from reaching one soul, is God happy with that? Stand fast in one spirit. Today we're going to talk about number five areas in which we should stand fast or persevere. Number five, we are to stand fast in prayer. Stand fast in prayer. In Mark chapter 11, we're going to be looking at several verses here. We're going to zero in on the idea of standing fast in prayer, but we're going to mention a few other things about prayer as well as we go through this. In Mark chapter 11, verse 12, Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 26, it says in this passage, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany," this is Jesus and his apostles, says, "he was hungry." Who was he? Jesus. 100% human, 100% God. Y'all agree with that? "And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came," that's Jesus, "if haply he might find anything thereon." So he's looking for figs to eat. And he sees this green fig tree, thinking there might be figs on that tree. "And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said," so there was no figs. "So Jesus answered and said unto it," or the fig tree, "no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Can you kind of picture that in your mind? Okay. Verse 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Don't try to convince me that Jesus was a wimp, all right? Don't try to convince me that Jesus did not stand for right. That's not the topic of the message, but I just thought I'd throw it in there anyway. Verse 17, "And he taught, saying unto them, it is written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city." Now here's the part that we're going to look at again in reference to standing fast in prayer. It says, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." Now this fig tree was as dead could be, even from the roots. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away." Can you imagine the apostles going by the tree and like, wow, look at that. Jesus cursed that fig tree, and look at it, it's completely dried up. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Huh? Wow. Isn't that pretty powerful stuff? Now, of course, I wish this meant that I could just go out today and say, Lord, I really believe you're going to give me a brand new GMC pickup. Extended cab, 2026 model, 0 miles on it. And it's got all the bells and that's not what it's saying. It's talking about things according to God's will and in God's service. Do you see the difference? Other scriptures back that up very clearly. That we don't want to consume it upon our lust. And if I asked for a GMC pickup and expected God to do it, I'd want it for my lust because I want that truck. Right? But he says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand, now here it is, and when ye stand. You know, that's the same word that's been translated stand fast in other places. So I don't think it's doing any damage at all to say, and when ye stand fast praying, or when you persevere praying. What's it say? Forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So it causes a rift in our relationship with God. We're still saved, right? And when we're saved at the point of salvation, our past, our present, and our future sins are all forgiven, right? So what is this talking about? It causes a division or a wall between us. That's what it's saying. So we need to forgive one another. So the whole point of this whole story that I read, it's talking about powerful praying, isn't it? It's talking about the power of prayer. And there's three key elements that I see here. First of all, powerful prayers require faith. Require faith. Now, when you go to God and ask God for something, do you believe that God has the power to do it? It says in verse 22, it says, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. In verse 23, notice that it says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And here it is, and shall not doubt in his heart. Then it goes on and says, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If you want powerful prayer, you got to have faith and trust that God can and will answer that prayer. You know, the Bible, well, verse 24 is another place. It says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them and ye shall have them. You see, the whole point of the story is powerful prayer, because they're amazed that Jesus cursed the fig tree and then come back and say, whoa, look, it's dead. And the Lord says, hey, you can experience power in your prayers too, but you got to believe when you pray. You know, a lot of us, unfortunately, when we pray, we don't really think God's going to do anything. Sometimes we even doubt his power to do things. You know, we may go through the lip service as a Christian and like, okay, yeah, I'll pray about that. And we do, God, I pray that you'll fix this and take care of this and heal this illness and all. But really, we don't have the heart or the faith to believe that God's going to do it. You see, if we want powerful things to happen, we got to believe that God can and will do it. So powerful prayer requires faith. Secondly, I see in this passage of Scripture, powerful prayers require forgiveness. Forgiveness. It says, and when ye stand fast praying, that is, forgive. Do you realize that if we don't forgive others of our trespasses, of their trespasses even toward us, it'll build a wall between us and even our prayers to God? Didn't Jesus say that? Didn't he say that in the model prayer? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Almost like, okay, as a requirement to forgive me, God, I want you to help me forgive others. It's assumed that it's going to happen. If we want to have powerful prayer and we have odd against other people and we're not forgiving them and we're just going to keep holding that and keep holding that against people and keep holding it against them and there's going to be hardness in my heart, are my prayers going to be powerful? I'd encourage you, even if someone has wronged you and it's 100% their fault, regardless, you need to forgive them. Powerful prayers require forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we are commanded or told to forgive one another. Ephesians 4, 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Now here it is, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Sounds like it's pretty important, don't you think? Let me ask you a question. How many people here have had God forgive them of certain things in their life? Okay. So how can we raise our hand and say, God forgave me, but I'm not going to forgive you? You know, even Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. So we must forgive. You want powerful prayer? You want to have power? You want to see God answer your prayers? Yes. Now, God has a plan. God is God, and I leave it to Him whether the answer is supposed to be yes, no, or wait. But if you want to have power in your prayer, first of all, according to this passage, it requires faith. You've got to believe that God can and will work in any given situation. Secondly, you've got to have forgiveness in your heart. You might say, preacher, it doesn't seem like my prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling. Well, you got hardness and unforgiveness in your heart. Maybe you need to forgive someone or several someones before your prayers are powerful again. And the last thing, powerful prayers require standing fast. Remember, we're looking at number five areas in which we should stand fast or persevere. And the idea here is standing fast in prayer. Powerful prayers require standing fast. Again, back to verse 25. And when ye stand or stand fast praying or persevere praying. You see, you and I, we've got to keep praying. Really. We've got to keep going before God and say, God, I need you. And God, I want you to do this. And I want you to do this according to your perfect will. We must persevere in our prayer lives. You say, but preacher, I prayed about that a long time and it never happened. That doesn't mean it won't. We never know how close to God's answering yes, we might be. Just keep praying and seeking God. And seeking His will. You see, you remember the parable of the widow and the unjust judge? It's found in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. I'm just going to read verse 1. Remember, this widow keeps coming to this unjust judge. It's a parable to illustrate something. And what it's illustrating in this case is the value of continuing to go to God in prayer. Notice what it says in verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then through the story, the unjust judge doesn't want to do what the widow wants him to do, but she keeps coming to him. And finally, the unjust judge says, okay, basically because of your persistence, I will do what you ask me to do. And it's a picture. Now, God is not unjust in any way, but it's a picture of us coming to God and persisting or persevering in our prayers to God. Y'all agree with that? Now, it's always too soon to quit praying. You know, we have plenty of things we pray about for ourselves, right? And we probably can think of a bunch of stuff we need to pray for our family, right? And there's probably a bunch of stuff that we should be praying for our church, right? Four things just right off the top of my head. We're praying for unity. We're praying for souls to be saved. We're praying for increase. And we're praying for revival. Right? Don't quit praying. Keep persisting in prayer. Stand fast in prayer. You know, have you ever thought about that passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:17? You know, it's that really short verse that if you get points in Vacation Bible School for saying any verse, this is the one you want to pick. Because it's short and sweet. It says, pray without ceasing. Right? Pray without ceasing. Now, rightfully so. Normally when we interpret that and we apply that we should go around with an attitude of prayer all the time. An attitude of prayer. Because you can't necessarily be in a business meeting at your work or talking to someone or dealing with patients or dealing with customers and praying at the same time, right? But your heart ought to be in tune with God such that you have an attitude of prayer. But have you ever thought about this verse in the context or in the idea of persevering in prayer? Don't give up praying. Just keep persevering in prayer. Even if God hasn't answered after one day or one week or one month or one year or one decade or do you get the point? Just keep on asking God. Now, I agree with you. Wouldn't it be nice if you just shot a prayer up there and God says, done, and there it is. Now, God doesn't answer some of our prayers because they're not what's best for us, right? And sometimes God says, well, I'm going to answer that prayer, but just not right now. It's coming. So persevere and keep praying. You see, pray without ceasing. Persevere. James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Listen to this. With the idea of powerful prayers require standing fast. The idea of persevering in prayer. Listen to this. James 5, 16. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. That's good, right? If it's a public sin, you need to confess it publicly. Private sin, confess it privately to God, right? But then it says, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. Now here it is. This is the part I really want to emphasize. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what? The effectual or the effective fervent. Do you know what it means to be fervent? Staying at it. Keep on doing it, right? You might say persisting or persevering or standing fast in prayer. And when you do that, you know what happens? It says, of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, when you consistently stand fast in prayer and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, even though it seems like God is not listening, it seems like God is not answering, keep on doing that. And you have power or influence with God because it avails much. Y'all's amen must be broke today. Larry, where's your compadre? Where's Connie? We need her prayers. Okay, all right. When you and I are standing fast and persevering in prayer and keep going before God and going and going and going and going and say, God, I have this need. God, I have this need. God, I know this person that's lost. I want them to be saved. God, help me with this. God, help me to overcome this sin. God, just don't go to him one time and say, well, I'm done. I knew a couple, and they were a saved couple, and they were a nice couple, but they believed you only had to go to God one time. I don't know what they did with some of these scriptures. I wasn't smart enough to figure out, to ask them some of these questions at the time. But like, what do you do with that parable? The idea of persistence in prayer. What do you do with that verse that says pray without ceasing? What do you do with that verse that says stand fast in prayer? What do you do with these verses? Paul besought the Lord three times for the thorn in his flesh. Remember that? But God didn't take it away. But we have the responsibility to stand fast in prayer. Even when it seems God's not listening, keep praying. Even when it seems he's never going to answer it yes, keep praying. You don't know how close to God answering yes you might be. The answer might be just right around the corner. Persist. Persevere. Stand fast in prayer. I'm thankful that the Word of God tells me that I need to stand fast in prayer. Today we've looked at five areas in which we should stand fast or persevere. Number five, stand fast in prayer. One day, George Mueller, he had a number of orphanages. He began praying for five of his friends. Listen to this. He started praying for five of his friends. After many months, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, two others were converted. It took, listen to this, 25 years before the fourth man was saved. Mueller persevered in prayer until his death for the fifth friend. And throughout those 52 years, he never gave up hoping that he would accept Christ. His faith was rewarded, for soon after Mueller's funeral, the last one was saved. The last one was saved. Let me ask you, in a very general way, are you standing fast? Are you persevering in your service to God? Are you standing fast in the Lord's strength and in the Lord's service? Are you standing fast in the faith and what you've been taught? Are you standing fast in the liberty wherein you've been called? We're not saved by works. Are you standing fast in unity or one spirit? And primarily the emphasis of today's message, are you standing fast in prayer? Are you persevering in prayer? Some of you might be there and you're saying, preacher. I prayed for this so much, I'm almost tired of praying for this. Can I encourage you? Just keep praying. You say, preacher, I got this sin in my life, and it has almost wrecked my life. It has held me back my whole life. And I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and I prayed about it. Now, there's other steps, of course, you can take to help with that, but don't stop praying. Just keep praying. You don't know how close to victory over that sin you might be. You say, well, I got this one big problem at work. I prayed about it. Is God really listening? Can I assure you that God definitely is listening? And can I assure you that God has definitely answered that prayer to this point, either yes, no, or wait? But can I also encourage you, keep going before God. Keep saying, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, work in it. Because you never know how close you might be to getting the answer yes. I thought this story was a pretty good way to end the message today. This fellow named Ignace Jan Paderewski, the famous Polish composer pianist. He was once scheduled to perform at a great American concert hall for a high society extravaganza. In the audience was a mother with her fidgety 9-year-old son. Weary of waiting, the boy slipped away from her side, strangely drawn to the Steinway piano on the stage. Without much notice from the audience, he sat down at the stool, this little boy, and began playing chopsticks. The roar of the crowd turned to shouts as hundreds yelled, "Get that boy away from there!" When Paderewski, the master pianist, heard the uproar backstage, he grabbed his coat, rushed over behind the boy. Reaching around him from behind, the master began to improvise a counter melody to chopsticks. As the two of them played together, Paderewski kept whispering in the boy's ear, keep going. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't stop. You know, I really believe that God is whispering in your ear today, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep persevering for the Lord. Keep standing.